Please turn in your Bible to Romans, the 8th chapter. I'll begin reading in verse 37. As I'm reading, would you listen for the word of God? The Apostle Paul writes, "But in all these things we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord, not death or life. Not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? We know that when we follow close to you, nothing can separate us from your love, Lord. Help us to learn to make your word our home. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm really glad that you're here. If you reach in your bulletin, you'll find a GPS, a Grow, Pray, and Study Guide, which is our way of encouraging you to have a daily quiet time of reading the scriptures and praying. You can use that, the instrument that's available, or there's others that are available by the front door, but there's probably nothing that you can do that will help you grow as a disciple of Christ more than developing that habit. So I hope that you've taken on that challenge. We're in a sermon series, and it's called Playlist, and what we're looking for is messages that maybe you missed and songs that you enjoy listening to. For the song that we have today, I have to give you a little bit of background. When I was 17 years old, I went down to the Multiplex Theater in the area mall, and I saw a movie called Saturday Night Fever. And the movie was just okay. It was actually kind of a filler movie. John Travolta was a rising star, and he had a project that was coming up, maybe you heard of it, Grease, but he was going to be unemployed for a while, so they put this movie together, and he was talking about when he was doing the dance scenes and rehearsing for those, they didn't have the music that you hear on the soundtrack. They had Stevie Wonder and Boss Gags, and a producer for the movie didn't like the music that had been selected, and so they found this group over in England called the Bee Gees, and they said, "We're putting together a project, and we need some music fast. Can you put together some songs for us?" And so in a weekend, that's how talented these people are, because the soundtrack for Saturday Night Fever is still the best-selling soundtrack ever for a movie, sold 50 million albums. It went platinum 16 times. They did these five songs in a weekend, and one of them was How Great, How Deep Is Your Love. And I remember leaving the theater and thinking, the movie just made me uncomfortable as a teenager, but the sound, the music, I loved the music and the dancing. I thought that was really cool. And so I went back to talk to my friends who are all kind of Neanderthals anyhow, and I said, I just saw this movie and I really liked the music. I guess it's called Disco. And one friend, Bob said, "Disco sucks." And I thought, wow, okay. I said, "Todd, what do you think? Disco sucks." And pretty much around the room, "Disco sucks. How about you, Jim? Disco really sucks." Okay, great. Actually, there's a movement right now that's gone on. Disco still sucks. I mean, it's like how many years later, but I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It was one of my first opportunities to stand up to real peer pressure in my life and say, well, I don't care what you guys think, I kind of like it. So this song, How Deep Is Your Love, is their best-selling song. And in Robin Gibb, when he was talking about it, the song started by just Barry Gibb was in the studio with a guy named Blues Weaver. What a great name for a keyboardist. And Barry said, "What's the prettiest piano chord that you know?" And he played it. And that's where they started the song. And then the three brothers lended the words. And Robin Gibb, when he was talking about it, he said, it's a song about personalities and being examined. And certainly we put our own personalities into the song. But he said, what's really interesting is people consider it a romantic song between a man and a woman. And he said, if you listen really carefully, male or female aren't mentioned in it at all. And as a person that was growing in faith, this is one of those songs that I thought to myself, if I were thinking about my relationship with Christ, I could think of this song in those terms. I want you to listen to the words. I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain. In the moment that you wander far from me, I want to feel you in my arms again. And you come to me in a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love. Then you softly leave. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really mean to learn, because we're living in a world of fools breaking us down when they all should just let us be. We belong to you and me. I believe in you. Second verse. You know the door to my deep, you know the door to my very soul. You're the light in my deepest, darkest hour. You're my savior when I fall. And you may not think I care for you when you know down inside that I really do. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really mean to learn, because we're living in a world of fools breaking us down when they all should let us be. We belong to you and me. Give your attention to the screen.
Touch me in the pouring rain. In the moment that you wander far from me, I want to feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave. And it's me you You're the light in my deepest, darkest hour. You're my savior when I fall. And you may not think I care for you when you know down inside that I really do. And it's me you need to show. Breaking us down.
right, cut the mood, Dan. Let's get rid of the lights. Thank you. Got a great staff around here. So I wanted to show you the original music video, but we would have had to hand out crackers because it was so cheesy. It was just like, I can't do it. You would have laughed me off of the stage here. When Robin Gibb was being asked about this, he said one of the things about the song is it's a universal song that people can connect into, because the point of it is love is the anchor. It's the foundation of everything. Sometimes when we listen to songs, we assume it's about one thing and then we find out it's about another. One of the staff members asked me this week, so are you going to be talking about the depths of God's love? And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, we've talked about that. I don't know if you can ever talk too much about it. And I think at least theologically we know that the depths of God's love can be seen in the cross. When God in human flesh came to earth, and as his arms were being spread apart, he was revealing the depths of his love. Paul's talking about that in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 37. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors as Christians through Jesus who loved us, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present or the future or any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. As the followers of Christ, we can walk in that confidence, and that's one of the things that we're learning to do as the disciples of Christ. So that's not what I'm going to talk about today. What I'm going to talk about today is the depths of your love. How deep is your love as a follower of Christ? Because Paul talks about that as well. He defines for us the love because he knows that there's a number of different types of love that are out there. The Greeks called one type of love eros love. And that's the love of a moment. The word eros was used for the experience that people had in a pagan worship service, in that moment, to be swept up in the moment. Another word for love was phileo, and that's the most common type of love. That's the love that you have for your brother, your sister, for hot dogs, or for Minneapolis. You know, it's a very common type of love. But there was a very obscure type of word that was used to describe a unique type of love called agape. And we only have four documents outside of the New Testament that ever used this word in Greek. It was that unique, but when the Christian writers saw that word and realized it was defining the love that God has for us, we used it throughout the New Testament as a way to describe this love that is a decision. I've decided to love you in a certain way. And Paul said, I need to describe what that love is like. And so in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, you have the definitive definition of it in verses 4 through 7. Paul says that this love of Christ, is patient and it's kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it doesn't dishonor people, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, it does not delight in evil, it rejoices with the truth, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. So that's the test. So how deep is your love? That's the standard. We don't want to just compare ourselves to the next door neighbor who might be a lout. This is the standard for our love, the target, the goal, the way that we want to operate. There's a lot to it. I just want to begin with the first two words, just love is patient and love is kind. This is the way God loves us. God's love is intended to help us become so confident in God's love that we can repent, we can come clean, we can deal with the stuff that's within us, that we can feel secure enough that we can confess and begin to become a better person. I mean, imagine if God's love wasn't this type of patience. You know, if we were confessing our sins to God and God goes, wait. So you're confessing your sins. Just exactly what sins are you confessing? So you know, we get specific and we start saying, wait. Weren't you just confessing those sins 3 days ago? Well, yeah. And a month ago? I suppose. And a year ago? Yeah. Well, I guess three strikes and you're out, pal. Get lost. Would we ever get right? Would we ever be willing to align ourselves with God? Would we ever be willing to ask ourselves the question, how really deep is my love if God weren't patient with us, eternally patient with us? I don't think so. And it's kind, which is even more heaping more coals on our head, because not only am I going to put up with you while you're a pain, I'm actually going to do kind things for you. I'm going to help you even when you don't care about me. That's the really difficult part of this, is that when we're at odds with God or when we're at odds with other people, will I be kind? Not just patient, tolerate them. Do you remember the Promise Keeper movement? It was a movement, a renewal movement for men, Christian men, try to realign their lives with Christ, not just be churchgoers, but actively live out our faith in our marriages and our families. And they had a million-man march. It wasn't a protest. It was a worship service. It was a huge worship service that was televised around the country, but well over a million men showed up down there. But, of course, whenever something happens in Washington, D.C., there are protesters. And so there were men and women that were protesting the Promise Keepers there. And what you can't see in that picture is how incredibly hot it was in Washington, D.C. It was just unbearable. It was Hades. And so these Promise Keepers are having their worship service, and there's angry protesters along the side with bullhorns and big signs. And one of the things that was caught by reporters in that were there was one of the Promise Keepers had a little cooler full of water bottles, iced water bottles, and saw that one of the protesters was really struggling, and so took out a water bottle and went over and offered that, and this person was holding up this really angry sign, and the Promise Keeper said, hey, why don't I just hold that for you while you have your water? So the Promise Keeper is standing there holding this sign that's denouncing him while this person's having this bottle of water. That's kindness. When you're at odds with somebody and yet you're still willing to do the human thing, the kind thing, the charitable thing. That's the way that God loves us. And the challenge for us is, can our love deepen to the point where we can offer that type of patient, kind love to other people? And that got me thinking to something else. You know, when we meet for 12-step groups or we meet for Bible studies, honestly, one of the things that we're talking about the depths of God's love. But another thing that we're talking about, especially if there's intimacy within the group, is we begin to talk about our love and the types of love that we're good at and the type of things and relationships where our love isn't mature, it isn't deep, it isn't very strong. We fail and we fall back on other things that we've learned in order to make ourselves feel secure, to control the moment, to get our way. And it's that conversation that's very important for us to grow in the depths of our love. I mean, it's an incredibly difficult thing. I don't know where else this happens in our life when we begin to consider things like, what kind of husband have you really turned out to be? What type of wife have you turned out to be? What type of parent have you turned out to be? What type of friend have you turned out to be? What type of neighbor have you turned out to be? What type of Christian? I mean, really, we're all asking the same thing. How deep is your love in these relationships? A big part of the Promise Keeper movement was clean up your own backyard. It's so easy to just judge everybody around you. One of the things was, kind of out of the 12-step world, take your own inventory before you're taking other people's inventory. Part of an article that I was reading about the Promise Keeper movement was, after that rally with a million men, the parks personnel are used to just an amazing mess being left after these events. You have a million people in one place that are using porta potties and eating and doing whatever else in that site. It's just a catastrophe. And when they showed up on Monday, the place was immaculate. It looked better than when the million men showed up. And one of the parks board people said, you know, I wish that we would all clean up our own mess that way. Isn't that a mouthful? I mean, what if each one of us just began to deal with our own mess? Became more concerned about the depth of our own love than the depth of the person that we're married to, or our kid, or our neighbor. I mean, because when I read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it's so easy for our mind to go, you're right, Neen. These people, they need to be more patient with me, and they need to be more kind to me. But that's not really the point, is it? I mean, that's true. People need to be more patient and kind with you. But really, it begins in our own heart and our own mind. And as we reveal in patience and kindness the depths of our own love, and we grow in that, we are revealing to the world the depths of God's love. Amen.